Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Job Chicks podcast. We're your hosts, Melissa and Brittany.
This is a podcast meant to bring you special insight into executive career search, networking, long-term career management, spirituality, and much more.
Brittany and I are full-time executive career coaches helping dozens of executives manage their brand and their career goals.
We work with individuals spanning almost every industry with a variety of high-level titles, including C-suite.
This podcast will give you a deeper understanding of how we coach and assist executives just like you every single day.
We are so happy that you're here, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the inaugural episode of The Job Chicks. We are here to talk everything job. We're here to talk about life, and we're talking about spirituality. My name is Melissa Bassano.
And my name is Brittany Fowler.
And we are
the Job Chicks.
So today we are going to be talking about all different kinds of things. And I know in our last teaser, we talked a lot about networking and why networking is an important part of your job search process. So we're going to do a little review on why networking is important.
You know, I heard someone say today, actually, they made a comment about how networking is not natural for most people. And for a second, I paused and I was like, actually, that's not true. That needs to be reworded, because networking actually is natural. You know, typically when you move to a new town, how do you find out the best hairdresser or the person to mow your lawn? You network all the time. And I think we've done this since we were little kids. That's really how we grow and we, you know, commence with our community. What I think that person was trying to say is that networking with the intention of finding your next career, that is what comes unnatural, because most people not only are unfamiliar with how to sell themselves, but they also feel inauthentic in doing so.
Yes, and that's a good point. And one of the things we talk about at Browning all the time is, especially our fearless leader, John Sarachek, he says, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, everybody that you know. Talk to your barber, talk to your lawyer, talk to anybody that you do business with, because chances are they know a lot of people. And sometimes that can feel awkward, but if you get really good at having just good conversation, that's what turns it into something great. And it's not just a contact, it really will be a connection for life. When we think about networking for a job, a lot of times we have it in the back of our mind that we are in a job search, so we're uncomfortable. But the people that you're networking with don't know you're in a job search, and that's important, because you're just having personal conversations with them. Talk about, you know, some anecdotal things, things you remember about them, fun times that you had. That's really what makes you more likable in their eyes, and it helps them want to connect you with other people in their network when you do ask.
Yeah. And when I work with a lot of people, for those of you who are new to listening to Melissa and I, or you've never actually worked with us, Melissa and I are both coaches for high level executives. So we work with executives day in and day out. We work with people in various industries. We work with people that have held various titles, especially in the C-suite. So we see the most common problems all the time, which is why we're so adamant with the way that we coach, because these themes are constantly popping up. And one theme that always pops up for me, and you'll probably agree, is people say, I hate asking people for help. And I like to flip the script and I say, well, if people call you and want a favor or advice from you, how do you feel about it? And they're like, oh, I love helping people. Like, I love getting on the phone. I love connecting people. And I love being that, you know, that thread that can be something that aids towards someone's success. And I'm like, well, you need to allow people to be that for you as well. And they're like, wow, I never thought of it that way.
Right. People don't want to be a burden to somebody else. Yeah. And they feel like, wow, I never really thought of it. If somebody called and asked for my help, I would help them. Yep. So why wouldn't they help you? Mm-hmm. So it's really important to think about networking as more of a conversation and relationship than a job search. Mm-hmm. We work for Browning Associates. So if you want to visit our website, it's executivejobsearch.net. You can see both Brittany and myself on the website. Some of our videos that we've recently recorded are there. They're helpful tools. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is relationship building, people who ask for a job versus asking for a networking connection is going to be really important too.
Because it is not natural for people to network with the intention of moving forward or moving the needle in their career search, I think this is the benefit of working with a coach. And then if your coach can't help you, especially when you onboard with Browning Associates, is we have a team of people who have been doing this for a very long time. So if your coach can't help you with your specific problem, there is guaranteed someone who actually can. And when you are first starting out networking, it will feel uncomfortable. And I say this all the time to my clients. I say, you got to rip the Band-Aid off, because mm-hmm. you're never going to get better until you figure out where you feel uncomfortable. And where you feel uncomfortable is something you want to share with your project manager and your coaches, because that's where they can really help you strategize and see things differently.
Absolutely. And one of the phrases I like to use a lot, which people giggle at, is breaking the habit of being yourself. And I say that in a sense of when we're networking, because we're in a job search, we tend to want to call everybody we know and say, hey, I'm looking for something new. Can you help me? When in fact, that's really just going to invoke the, hey, why don't you send me your resume and I'll see what I can do. And I always think of that phrase as the kiss of death.
Yep,
because
absolutely.
They're not going to, it's just going to sit in their inbox, right? So we want them to actually take action with that. And the only way that can happen is by not sending a resume, by building rapport. And if there is an ask, it's who you should be talking with. Is there someone in their network they can connect you with?
Absolutely. So when you're networking, knowing how to keep that door open is super important. The kiss of death on my side, so what I see the kiss of death being, is getting on the phone with someone and saying, do you have a job for me? Or do you know someone who has a job for me? 99% of the time, the answer is going to be no. They're not a recruiter. They're not a hiring manager. They're a person and they have a full-time job. They probably have a family and a whole personal life out there. So what do you want to use them for? You want to utilize them for the resources that they have, which is an entire network. So asking them if they have a job for you, of course you're going to get that door slammed on you. And that's where strategy comes into play too. And working with a professional coach is because you need to know how to keep that door open and then get really tactful with what types of questions you can ask. So that way they can understand how they can help you. Most people don't know how to help you, and you need to orchestrate how they can potentially help you. For example, you could ask them, you know, how did you get your position? And if they say, I got my position through a recruiter about 5 years ago, then you can say, well, would you mind connecting me with that recruiter?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think another trap that people fall in is they look at their connections and they kind of assess it and say, well, I know this person is C-level and they can help me. This person is in my industry and they can help me. You want to think of your contacts as everyone can help you. So, you know, my favorite acronym
yep.
is every connection has opportunity, ECHO. So whenever you think of ECHO, every connection has opportunity. And I love to tell this story about one of my clients who she was kind of assessing her network, and one of the people who was in her network happened to be her former banjo teacher. And she felt that it really had no relevance because he was a banjo teacher for 40 years. And in my eyes, I'm thinking, this guy's been a banjo teacher for 40 years. Imagine the people that he knows. Connection from a banjo teacher that she felt was not a good connection. So every connection has opportunity. And you like to say the opportunity doesn't necessarily mean another connection or a job.
It's so true. So I find that when my clients actually rip the Band-Aid off and they start getting out there, they start having these conversations, they come back to me and they say, now I see the entire concept of how networking works, because you start to get benefit from these conversations that are outside of you just getting a job or not. So you need to continue to look at every conversation with an open mindset, because you don't know what you can extract from it that can be very helpful. And I think it's noteworthy of also mentioning, you may connect with someone, have great chemistry. Maybe they don't have an opportunity in mind or a second level referral. They might not have something for you that you can really take away and chew on, but just establishing that connection alone might bear fruit in the future. Because if they hear of something, or you know, maybe they go to a cookout in a week or two and they bump into someone who's in your industry and they're like, oh my gosh, this person made me think of you, and then they call you back, and there you go. You just made that second level connection, even though it wasn't in that moment when you initially made that relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're talking to what we call a first level connection, whether it's someone in your network, somebody I introduce you to, or Brittany introduces you to, it's always making sure that you're staying in the personal conversation. If they introduce you to someone, yes, when you talk to that next level, the second level connection, yeah, this is about a job search eventually. So that's when you can really start talking about what you're interested in pursuing or interested in finding, having more information about. If you're talking to your second level connection and you're saying, you know, I'm really researching AI and this is why Jim connected me to you, I'd love to learn more about what you do, learn more about the industry. And, you know, if you look at my resume, would I fit in this industry? Because eventually this is, of course, about the end game, which is a job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one of the tools that I like to use with my clients who struggle to keep the skeleton of networking conversation because they're like, I don't know where to direct it. Sometimes we get off on a topic talking about the weather and I don't know how to bring it back. When you are a client at Browning Associates, we create an entire branding package for you. And there's this one document called the interest profile that really comes in handy to keep things on task when you're going into a networking conversation. One of the ways I like to use this document is I have my clients send their interest profile to the person's email or their phone via PDF. PDF is just a really great document to open up on a phone on a whim. Sometimes if you share a Google Doc, people are like requesting access and it just doesn't work out. So a PDF is a great way to share your interest profile and that person can pull it up. Don't send it any sooner than 30 minutes before the phone call, because if it's a complete stranger, you never want them making any prior assumptions about what this document is, or, you know, looking at it and saying, geez, this person is expecting something from me and they are a no-show. So send it pretty soon to the phone call. So that way when you're on with them and you really do get, you know, talking about what it is you're excited to do moving forward, you can actually say, hey, I sent you over a PDF. If you want to pull that up, I actually have a list of target companies that I'm really interested in learning about. Do you know anything about these companies? Do you know anyone who knows anything about these companies? If you look on the left-hand side, you can see the geographical locations that I'm targeting. It's a wonderful document to keep the conversation at task. And if you do get off talking about the weather, that document is a common ground for both people to go back to at any time, really. Mm-hmm.
When you do work with Browning Associates, you are going to get not just a new resume, you're going to get a whole branding package. It's a communications packet. And that interest profile is one of my favorite documents that I have clients use all the time, because I feel like it's very relevant when you're wanting to give someone some information about who you are and what you're looking for. That is the perfect document. Of course, you're going to get an executive summary as well, and there's a place for that. So there is a benefit when you're working with Browning Associates. You get to work with your coach, who will help you realize how to use each one of those documents very well.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why you have a coach, and this isn't just a cookie cutter program that we hand you, because honestly, that would just be equivalent to a course. We could record all the videos and we can say, you know, here's the price of all these videos, go take it and run with it. That does not work, because every single executive has an entire career history. They have their own personal strengths, their personal weaknesses. They even have their own personal biases. They also are running off their own schedule. I work with people who are currently not employed and their full-time position is to just focus on job search. And then I work with people who are working 50 hours a week. And having a coach, you're making sure that how you're going about strategizing for not only networking, but just job search as a whole, your coach is able to help you prioritize and be productive rather than active. Because if you only have X amount of time in a week, we really aim to work with you and where you're at and how much time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and that's an important point. We meet you where you're at. Some people have had experience networking, so it's less of a process going through new dialogue and how to network. And some people just do not like it or are not good at it. So we're going to meet you where you're at to make sure that we coach you properly.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, when we first started this episode, we were talking about having your authentic voice when you're networking, because you don't want to feel or sound salesy. And a lot of people that I begin working with, they have no idea how to present their value. So another component to onboarding with Browning Associates is that every coach you work with is fully equipped to train you to verbally communicate your brand. So not only are you working with your project manager slash coach on networking, but you're also working on communicating your value and learning how to tailor bringing your value forward where you're not, you know, having your audience fall asleep on you, because sometimes people will ramble on and on and on and no one understands the point and they kind of just start tuning you out. That's pretty common. And then on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes people will say too little and you're like, where is this going? I don't really understand what you were trying to convey. So simultaneously to being coached on networking, you're also being coached on, you know, your verbal skills. And I think that that significantly helps people feel and find their authentic voice.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I get a lot when I onboard a new client is, what makes a client a good client and what makes a client a bad client?
I love this.
And it's really one word, your attitude, right? Your attitude and how you treat this process. And I think it was Henry Ford who said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. So if you think this process is going to work, you're going to dive in 100% and you're going to listen to your coach's advice and you're going to make it work. If you believe that this is not going to work for you, then you're not going to put that work into it that you need to make sure you're networking the right way. So attitude is key in jumping in and making sure you're positive about when you're having conversations, because people can read your energy too. When you're having these conversations, if, you know, I like to say it's the Eeyore effect, you know, if you're going into conversations like Eeyore, people are going to feel that and they're less likely to help you.
It's so true. I always say no one wants to genuinely invest in someone that has this desperate or, you know, lack of confidence type energy. So people want to invest in individuals who present themselves passionately, confidently, and that they're willing to put the work in. So I'm so happy you mentioned something about people who are willing to put the work in are much more successful at this program, because this program is a partnership. You want to combine the forces and the resources of Browning Associates and our entire team, plus your resources and your entire team. It's really a blend of the two. So when it comes to people who are, you know, onboarding and they don't want to do any work, they have a bad attitude, they're kind of approaching conversations as Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, it's very difficult to get people to invest in you because they're not feeling like there's value there. Mm-hmm. And it's I hate to say this, I'm just going to be really honest, but no one wants to pass you off to someone and put their name on
you. Right. They don't want to introduce you to their friends if you sound like Eeyore, or if they know you're calling that person and just asking for a job.
Exactly.
Too. So it's important to build that rapport so you are somebody they're excited about.
Yes.
And they want to introduce you to their friends.
Yes. Yes. Because you can get on the phone, you can sound like Eeyore, you can have this desperate, lack of confident type energy, and people may give you a second level connection, but they're doing it because they just feel bad for you. You never want people to give you something because they feel bad. Then you're never going to hear from them again. They're probably going to ghost you and you'll never hear back. Instead, if you're approaching the conversation positive and they see it as they're jumping on as a partnership with you because they're excited about going forward with you in your journey in some way, then not only are they giving you a second level connection because they're excited, but they're probably going to want to check in with you and see how that conversation went, which might be a good topic for us to talk about the follow-up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Following up with connections is important.
Before we move on, I know we were both on our board meeting today, and one of our former clients was talking about how he had a bad attitude.
Yes.
He had to give himself an attitude adjustment. And he was 3 months into the process and he realized, you know, it was his own bad attitude that networking wasn't going to work. There wasn't anything out there for him because he was too old. And the minute he changed and gave himself what he called that attitude adjustment, everything turned around. And all of a sudden he was having success. So it really just speaks to your portrayal, how you're coming across to other people. That's really important.
Absolutely. Being willing to shift your mindset and take responsibility for things that are not Yes. working out in your favor is super important, because I find that when things are not working out, a lot of times people with a bad attitude will also blame whomever and whatever they can on something to make them feel like they don't need to take ownership of what's going on. That is pretty detrimental to the success of anybody, whether that's in your personal life or in your job search or just in your job in general. You want to make sure you have that growth mindset.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So moving on, because I do want to talk about the follow-up. When you are approaching these networking conversations and you're passionate and you're excited and, you know, you're getting people on board with you and your brand and they're believing in you and you're getting yourself out there, it's super important to pay respect and pay due to the people who actually offer you up information that's helpful or second level connections. So if Sally connects you to Joe and Joe was incredibly helpful, you should probably give Sally a call and say, you know, I just want to say thank you so much again for connecting me to Joe because he was super helpful. He ended up connecting me to such and such a company. Things are going really well. Wanted to say thank you again. Sally will not only genuinely appreciate that, but that means that you just continued that relationship that you built with Sally. And maybe she offers you something else in advance with that thank you follow-up conversation, or maybe she just keeps you in mind further down the road and makes another second level connection for you. Super important. And I find that helpful for my clients.
What's also nice too is the quid pro quo. So Sally, you're calling to thank her for making this amazing connection, but you can also offer Sally something. Hey, I'm building a great network. If you want to network with some people, or if there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. Don't hesitate. And that goes a long way. And sometimes that quid pro quo is a nice precursor to your ask, you know, hey, we've had a great conversation and, you know, I've got a great network. I've cultivated a great network through this process. And if you want to get connected to anyone, I'm happy to make those connections for you and vice versa. If you have a great connection for me, I would love for that introduction.
Mm. I don't know what really sparked me to think of this, but this is a really helpful tip that I share often to people who onboard with me and they're really nervous about the whole networking conversation, because we can give you lots of strategies. And I know that can feel super overwhelming to people because they're like, oh my gosh, I have all these strategies that I have to remember and execute and practice, that it can potentially make the conversation feel like it's your responsibility to keep the conversation going. But there has to be room for just the trust and the genuine nature of allowing a conversation to unfold. Just because you know that you have the intention of extracting certain things from the conversation doesn't mean it's your responsibility to carry the weight of how the conversation is structured. You want to make sure that the other person is able to ask you questions, you ask them questions about themselves, so that genuine feel and that flow is great. And a tip that I like to throw in there is, before you get on the phone with a complete stranger, utilize social media to your advantage. Because if you are getting on the phone and you only know the person's first and last name and their phone number, that can be pretty overwhelming and scary, because you're like, what if the conversation falls flat? What if I don't know what to say next? But if you look on their LinkedIn profile, for example, you can see where they went to college. You can see where they live. You can see what companies they used to work in. Maybe they have family photos and you're like, wow, that person has 5 kids. These are all really great icebreakers or conversation starters. If you start to feel like you don't really know where the genuine flow can go, you can always turn it over to something that you know about the person through research.
Absolutely. It's funny, because my clients will look at my LinkedIn profile and they'll notice that I worked for Miss USA for like 20 years. And so they get all excited and they ask questions about it. And then I start telling them funny stories, because 30 years or 25 years of pageantry, I have seen it all.
Well, you were telling me how the girl pooped her pants right before going on. And you got to just like pull it together, right?
Oh yeah, like clean her up and get her out there.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. What question for you, since we're recording, what is a good parallel, you know, something you've learned in the pageant world about speaking and holding yourself and everything, the whole nine? What's a good parallel from that arena to what it is you do now working with high level executives?
Oh my gosh, everything. People ask all the time, you know, why are pageants important? Or, oh my gosh, they think they have this, you know, ditzy pageant girl kind of thing. But everything I've learned in pageantry is everything I do today. Because when I stopped competing in pageantry, I started doing coaching, and I did interview coaching for a long time. And it's everything that I teach executives today. It's all relevant. It's really all relevant. And when people underestimate what pageant girls have to do to train for these pageants, it's probably harder than coaching an executive to get a new job, because it's a lot of dedication.
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking of a possible similarity. Of course, I'm not from that background, but I can only imagine that when you're in a pageant, you're looking at all these other competitors and you're seeing their strengths and weaknesses. You must feel this sense of comparison, and you probably have to at some point figure out how to create that like positive bubble around you where you're confident. You're like, okay, yeah, I am around all these other women that I'm competing against, but I need to focus on me. And I see that a lot with the executives I work with, where some of them fall short with that confidence because they feel like, oh my goodness, how have I gone this my whole career? I've never had to interview after 55 years, and now I'm finding myself interviewing and I'm up against all these other people. How am I stacking up? And it's like, it's just like in pageantry, I assume you have to build that bubble around
you. It's funny that you say that, because I just had a client today who has an interview, and that was one of the questions he asked. Should I ask about other candidates?
Wow, that's a good question.
And I always recommend not to ask about what other candidates are doing, and you know, how do I fare between other candidates, because that's almost a sign of weakness, because you're worried about other people.
Yeah, it's like, why? Exactly.
You want to be confident in yourself.
Yeah, why would you even ask? Because you know what? The information you learn about other candidates is coming from a biased perspective anyways. You know, if you're going to meet other candidates face to face, maybe you could make that assessment yourself, but I would certainly keep it to yourself. But other than that, you really don't know what a company is truly looking for, because sometimes they're a competitor, their, you know, career history can look different than you, but you have no idea how the company is really evaluating the two of you. So it's kind of like none of your business as to who it is you're competing against. Just focus on yourself.
I think one of the funniest things that I tell clients, and I like to have fun with my clients, so I can be a little silly when we're coaching, and I tell them sometimes the interview is like high school. It's like a popularity contest, you know? if they want to hire people they like.
Yeah.
You know, you could have two people who have the exact same credentials, but one is very unlikable and the other person is super personable. And who do they want? They want the person they're going to enjoy working with.
It is so true. And your personality can play a big role in your ability to get a position over someone else. Because, you know, when you look at someone who's a plug and play, you know, someone who has the career history where they can just enter into a role and the company just has full trust that you don't need training, you don't need coaching, you can just jump right in there. When you bring a positive attitude to the table, that subtle energy is actually super important because that instills more trust in the company that you can actually be a plug and play. You can, you know, play nice in the sandbox and you can get in there and you can just be a team leader. So I think that that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the funniest thing that you think's ever happened with a client?
So, you know, I had a client once who was relatively young, 30s, and the amount of confidence and arrogance there was with, like, I'm going into an interview and I'm going to say this. And then he said this to me and I'm going to say this to him. And I'm like, whoa, 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 no, you're not. And it was like every single time I got on the phone with this client, you know, they didn't think it was very funny, but I did, because everything they thought they were so confident about that they were going to say and they were going to put their foot down and they were going to show them who's boss, it was like the total opposite of what you should ever say in an interview. And I would always be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But I landed that client, so.
Well, it's one of the funny things is, you know, I always tell clients when you're when they talk about money in an interview, I don't like clients to talk about what the salary is. You know, I always give the advice, you know, you want to ask them what's the role budgeted at. And
for sure,
the reason is you don't want to give them a number. And I had a client who, she did not listen to me. And she went in, she gave them a hard number and they gave her an offer and it was that number.
Ooh.
So there was no negotiation and she was like, oh, I should have listened to you. And we, you know, we kind of joked about it and we were able to negotiate some other things, but you know, you've got to think ahead. You've got to give yourself some negotiating power. When
absolutely.
You do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of people find that they choke when the compensation comes on the table for conversation.
Sure, because it's uncomfortable. People don't like to talk about money.
Mm-hmm. It is very uncomfortable. And I also think you can be overly confident with what you think your value is.
Yes.
And then you can also be very underconfident. Both can be pretty detrimental. So again, you know, working with Browning Associates, not only are we coaching you on networking and interview skills and all that, but we're here through and through, when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to counter offers, we can coach you, but you got to listen to us.
Right. And I think there's several of us on staff that I know who will be pretty upfront with you and just say, oh no, we can't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's to a point where, you know, you got to be careful. Sometimes I have to be careful with clients because I'm very upfront and honest, and I want to make sure that we're making the right deals. And so, you know, it's a dance sometimes because I don't want to offend a client, but I think it's also very important to have the personalities that we have, and Melanie, of course, is like us as well.
Yep.
So, you know, we're kind of, you know, upfront and say, oh no, it has to be done this way.
Yeah.
You know, and executives don't like that. I mean, I'm telling a CEO, he's used to giving the orders or she's used to giving the orders. And now I'm telling her what to do. And sometimes that's tough.
It is really tough. But I think that's where building a relationship with us from the very start, I know my clients and I know your clients too, they build such trust in us,
mm-hmm.
that by the time, you know, you're looking at an offer and you're looking at negotiations, they trust us so
yes.
wholeheartedly. And that's something I will never take for granted. I mean, I do what I do because I love to help, but it's like the relationships I build with my clients mean so much to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by that time it is, you know, they know we're going to be real with them too, where, you know, this is the best offer you're going to get, or, you know, hey, there's a lot of room here. So I think having built that trust in that relationship is really, really helpful. And I know you feel this way too. I have a lot of clients that I would totally be friends with outside of
yes.
you know, we just, you click with them. And John's really good about, our fearless leader, John Sarajcik, is really good about when he has his first meeting with a new client, who he thinks is going to be the best fit. And
true,
he's, for the most part, really, really good at who is going to jive with a certain project manager. And that really enables me, it enables Brittany and everyone on staff to build that good relationship where you feel like you can be friends with your clients outside of, you know, once they've landed a job. And, you know, I know there's plenty of people that I still talk to.
Absolutely.
Clients from years ago that I still talk to.
Absolutely. And then, you know, sometimes my clients will land and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to be in your area. Like, let's meet up.
Let's get together.
And it's amazing when you go through this mm-hmm. whole process, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between,
mm-hmm.
You know, everyone onboards because they want to get that next job that mm-hmm. really excites them. But what you don't realize, and, you know, on that advisory call today, he said that it was a spiritual journey for him.
Absolutely.
Going through this program. So you build relationships with us at the company. You build relationships with networking connections. It's a whole transformational process. And then it's like getting to meet your clients in person afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's just so incredibly rewarding. So before we move on from the compensation conversation component, I have a fun question for you. Because this has never happened to me before. This has never happened to me before, but I'm actually curious. Has anyone ever gotten an offer
mm-hmm.
and counter offered so high that the deal was broken? The company just came back and said, nope.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about that?
So when someone's confidence, like you were talking about, is too high and I am unable to rein it in, and, you know, they're feeling their worth is a whole lot more than what the offer is. And I'm very upfront with people. This is a good offer, or no, we need to ask for a little bit more. But when someone feels that their value is way more than what the offer is, and then they counter offer and rescind, it's really uncomfortable. And that has happened before.
Wow. If you were to give people advice to make mm-hmm. sure that that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. is outside of the scope of working with a coach, is there anything else, if someone doesn't have a coach, is there anything else you could help advise people on with going in for a counter offer without that, you know, being a possibility?
Well, you always want to research and make sure that you're within a range, a comp level. You know, salary.com is always good. There's a lot of websites out there that can give you a range. And if you're way above that range, and what I think people forget too, is it's not just about the base salary. I feel like people get really caught up in the base salary.
Very true.
When mm-hmm. it's really not just about the base. I mean, it's about an entire comp package.
Absolutely.
So your base may be 225, but your bonus may be 40%, you know, and you might get equity and stocks and, you know, profit sharing. There may be so many other things that come along with it. And I think a lot of people get really caught up in salary, but you know what they also get caught up in? Title.
Yeah, some people really do get caught up in title. When I onboard someone new and I start getting to know them and they say, you know what, Brittany, I really don't care about the title. I care about the company culture and the chemistry and the roles and responsibilities. I just want to bring my value into a company. Those people land much faster.
Yes. Well, in a lot of companies nowadays too, I've noticed a shift where a lot of companies are consolidating. So those higher titles, you're still getting the same salary, but those titles aren't there as much because they're consolidating. So somebody who might be a vice president at one time was a senior VP is now a VP, but you're getting the same type of a pay, but people really have a problem with that. It's not going to affect you going forward because if a large company, if you're VP at a larger company, but you were a senior VP at a smaller company, it kind of all evens out.
It really does. Absolutely. And I think that when you have the personality naturally where you say, I don't really care about the title. I care about, you know, the roles and responsibilities and making a difference in the company. I think that attitude in and of itself sells itself. So when you are going to move to another company, and I don't think anyone's going to be judging you based off of the title you most previously held because your personality and your attitude is always going to be more of like a showmanship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the funniest thing you've ever done? or said to a client? And have you offended any clients?
Have I offended any clients?
Oh, I know I have for sure. Without a doubt, in the last many years, I have definitely offended.
So I don't know if I have offended. I always like to let my clients know at the very beginning, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to coach you. So mm-hmm. if I give you constructive feedback, it's because I want you to be better. Mm-hmm. And it's my job to be the person to tell you these things before you go make the mistakes in the real world. Something that does come to mind, I was not personally offended by this, but potentially other people could have been. I had a client get on Zoom with me one time and I'm like, how'd the interview go? And he was like, oh, it was great. And I was like, tell me about it. And he's like, yeah, I made a really good joke. And I'm like, okay, what joke did you make? And he's like, they asked me, you know, if such and such happens in the company, what would you do? And he gave his answer. And then they said, okay, well, what would you do if it didn't, you know, go through? What would your plan B be? So he starts talking about plan B and referring to it as birth control. And I was like, ooh, I'm like, don't say that in an interview. That is not a joke. Mm-hmm. That is a very serious topic to yeah. most people. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh man. And he didn't get the position. So, yeah. You know, you do have to be careful what you consider to be a joke. Mm-hmm. You do want to be careful, you know, how it could be perceived by other people. So that was a moment for me where I was like, oof, that was
yeah. You know, I find too, this is very much a spiritual journey. I tell people this is really sometimes a soul search more than a job search. And it's all about timing. You know, I mean, sometimes I had a client who she really wanted this position. And it was, she would have had to move from California to Boston. It was a great position, but she didn't hear from them. And that's another issue with recruiters, that they're ghosting people. That's a whole nother, we got to do a whole podcast on that.
We do.
But she never heard back from the company. And lo and behold, her husband was having a medical issue. And if she had gotten this job, she would have already moved.
Whoa.
All the way across the country.
Whoa.
And she wouldn't have been able to help out her husband. And so we've talked about this and she said, you know, I'm grateful that that didn't happen
yes.
because I would have never been able to be there. So a lot of it is about timing. Sometimes it's, you know, forces unknown to us. And, you know how I feel spiritually, the universe
Absolutely.
Will bring you your job when the time is right. And somebody might be in it now and they're leaving and they haven't left yet. So there is a timing issue too.
Absolutely.
When waiting for that new position.
The parallel between job search and dating /
yes.
marriage is insane
yes.
because you could find parallel in absolutely everything. And timing is one of the biggest mm-hmm. components. That's why when I get a new client, talk about commonly asked questions and themes. One of the things I always get is, what's the average time a client lands? And I'm just thinking of, you know, the data that goes into even remotely coming up with an answer for that. And there's too many factors mm-hmm. that play a role into landing a position. And if there's a company out there that says to you, work with us and we'll land you within X amount of time, that's a really big red flag
mm-hmm.
because who you are as a person and your entire career history and your skill set, and then you're pairing that with the chemistry and the culture and the right fit with a company, that's a marriage. You know, that's a union that is really divine in many ways, and timing plays a big role in that. So like you said, maybe someone else is in that role that you're meant to be in,
yeah.
and it's 6 months until they're going to get let go or retire or something like that, and here you are at 3 months. Well, it's been 3 months and I haven't gotten a job. Well, you need to persevere and you need to use this as a spiritual journey. Learn about yourself in the process. Keep networking, because you're not ever going to get to that meant to be job unless you actually put action or inspired mm-hmm. action behind it.
Yeah. Funny that you say that this is very much like dating. Is that something I say to clients all the time, especially when you're networking with people? You know, it's like the first date conversation. You're never going into your first date saying, hey, I want to marry you, because you're going to scare that person away. Right. So you're never going to go into a first conversation and say, hey, I need a job. I need you to help me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the same thing. It's a dance. It's giving just enough information for them to want to come back.
Yeah. And I think too, just like dating, you want to put your best foot forward. And a lot of times people get advice from their parents or their siblings and they're like, hey, I have a first date with so-and-so. You do your research before you go on to a first date. It's the same thing with networking or even going into an interview. Do your research a little bit so that way you can put your best foot forward. You kind of want to link to what they're looking for, or you want to link to what you could possibly, you know, get from that conversation. So yeah, lots of different parallels there. And if you trust in the process, then you will remain having a positive attitude, which will only help you get to your destination faster.
Absolutely. And trust in your coach. If you're able to get a coach, whether it's someone at Browning or somewhere else, if you're able to get a job coach, listen to that person's advice, because, you know, we've all been doing this a long time. I mean, collectively, we probably have 200 years experience, you know, but, you have to listen to what they're telling you. And this is something that I say, especially to higher level executives, because they're used to being in charge, right? So it's hard sometimes to take direction. And, you know, you want to be able to listen to me as the expert in the field, right? If somebody comes to you and hires you for your expertise, right? And then they're telling you how to do your job, you're saying, well, why did you hire me? Right? So I find that if you allow us to coach you the right way, we know the strategy that works. So let us do that and coach you with the strategy that works. Even if it feels like it to you that that's not the right strategy because it's uncomfortable. And that's usually the case. It's fear or you're uncomfortable.
And another thing I always say to my clients is when we meet weekly, I don't want that to be us playing catch up. So if something's going on in your realm, even if we spoke 24 hours prior, keep me in the know. Because if I can offer you advice or just some stamp of approval in any way, even if I'm giving you a thumbs up on executing a certain something, I'd rather be in the know, but have that opportunity to provide you with information, because you don't know what you don't know. And you have a coach and you're paying for a coach. So keeping that coach in the know about what's going on not only helps you maintain that relationship with them and that trust, but it's possible your coach can give you insight. I just had a situation happen where I got on the phone with a client and he was like, you know, oh yeah, so a few days ago I got an offer letter from a company. They wanted to put me in some type of like 8-month contract role, you know, good salary, whatever, whatever. He's like, and I turned it down. I said, what? I said, you didn't call me before making, not only making this decision, but you didn't call me to like go over the, and he's like, no, I thought about it and I didn't want to do it. Well, turns out he was under a lot of these different assumptions. And had he just consulted with me, I could have clarified all of those assumptions. And for, I would say 2 to 3 weeks after this all unraveled, he said, I regret it. I regret it. I regret it. I regret it. So, you know, keeping your coach in the know, super, super important.
Right. And when you, you know, whether it's coaching with Browning or you have another job coach or somewhere else, or you have, you know, some sort of advice that you're paying for, I always consider that as an investment in yourself, right? People say, oh, well, I paid for this service, right? And yeah, absolutely. It is a service, but I look at it as an investment in yourself, because this really is a self-development process. A lot of people have been in their job for 25 years and never had to do this, you know, or they, you know, went from job to job because somebody found them on LinkedIn, or unknowingly it was through networking and they don't even realize it. But this is truly an investment in your self-development.
Yes. And I think when I work with a client for the first time and I see them know next to nothing, they really don't understand interviewing, they don't understand networking, and they say to me, Brittany, I'm probably a really hard client for you. And I always say, John sent you to me for a reason.
For a reason, absolutely.
Because I love working with people. It is my specialty. It is my dream. It is my passion to work with people who come to me and they're just like at bare minimum, because the reward that I receive when I watch them go from where they are to, it's not, I mean, yes, of course it is about landing that dream job, but I get to be there throughout the way and through the journey. And that is so incredibly rewarding to me. So no, you're not a hard client. You are my dream client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you and I feel like have a long background in life coaching.
Yes.
And I know you probably feel this with your clients. A lot of my clients, it turns into more of a life coaching process because that's what they need from the process along with the job coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, typically when a new client onboards, they say like, you know, so what exactly are you going to do for me? I'm like, the scope of what we do is so vast that it's impossible for me to sit here and say what I'll do for you. Because I always say, we're going to cross each bridge as we get to it. And sometimes you just can't see the bridge until we get there. So for example, I was on the phone with one of my clients. He has now landed in an exceptional position with an exceptional company, but he was onboarding with a new company and he had to think about what he wanted to negotiate for a relocation package. And this was a very unique scenario. And I remember, you know, for a few hours throughout the scope of a few weeks, we sat down together and we were like, okay, so what's the essentials that you're going to need in this city? And then in this city, you know, what are you leaving behind? What can you take? I became an expert in how to relocate a client. And I learned as I went in that process, because we cross each bridge as we get to it. And as coaches, sometimes we cross a new bridge and we're there for you every single step of the way, which is emotionally, you know, rewarding for me. But then it's also like a relief for the client too, because they feel like they have someone to go through these hard steps with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I want to circle back, not to change the subject, but this story reminded me when you said relocation is, I had a client who, going back to networking, you know, was working for GE and, you know, he was trying to network, but it was really a struggle for him, and super great guy. But it was a little bit of a struggle and trying to come up with personal connections. And one of his personal connections happened to be at a very large national bank. And he felt that, you know, there was no way, there's no position open for him. You know, I don't know how this is going to benefit me. So he ended up connecting with this old contact of his that he happened to work with years ago. And she remembered him. She loved him. They ended up having great rapport. And she connected him to someone else at this very large national bank, and they actually created a position for him. So when people tell me there's no position available and I'm helping you with dialogue so they can create a position for you, anybody can create a position for you, whether it's a small company or a huge corporation. If they love you, they will create a position for you.
I am so happy that you brought this topic up. And honestly, this could be a whole episode into itself. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with clients and they've come to me and I made a networking connection. Now I have this connection in the company. They have a need for me. I have to create a job description. Mm-hmm. I've sat down so many times and created job descriptions.
Right. What's your dream
client.
Job? Write yeah. it down. You know, write it down. And, you know, even if you're talking with somebody or not talking with somebody, write down your dream job description. So if somebody does approach you with that, you already know what you want to do. You know what your duties are going to include. You know what you don't want to do. And that's actually one of the things we talk about when we're positioning, is things that you love to do and things that if it's part of the job description, you're out.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. It's very true. I think when you look at a very successful executive who's done a lot of things, sometimes certain tasks or duties have sort of carried through the years in their career and they still do them, but now they're in job search and they look back on their career history and they say, you know, I've actually been doing this. I'm very good at doing it, which is why I've carried it on, but I really don't like doing it. That's really important for your team to know, because when we're building a branding package for you, we want to be presenting you to the world with all the things that you love to do, mm-hmm. because why are we going to really shove something in someone's face when you don't even want to be doing it yourself?
Right.
So yeah, that's a really good point to bring up.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other funny stories for your clients? I mean, I have tons, but, you know, I would never want to give away my, this, my client's info.
This might be something. Give away my client's info. This might need to be an outtake, but have you ever been asked out by a client?
So no, but I, yes and no. So I'm married and I make that very clear in the beginning. So it has been insinuated, but I will say I have been enamored with some clients.
Wow.
You know, where you're like, wow, if I was single, I would date this person.
Oh, okay. So we really just flipped that on its head. Yeah, I've definitely been asked out, but not necessarily by a current client. It's mm-hmm. typically after when mm-hmm. any client listening to this will know exactly what I mean by this, but I mean business. When I get on the phone, it's, yes, I have wonderful relationships with my clients, but it's like, we get down to business and there really is no room for, you know, chit chat or like flirting or anything mm-hmm. like that. I'm very like Mrs. Boss. Actually, a lot of my clients call me boss. But I learned this keeping this very professional.
At least you get boss though. When mine will think that I'm like the principal at school. And so, oh my God, I got to talk to Melissa. And like, I'm like the principal,
that
you know, it's
so
like, oh my God,
awesome.
There's some people are afraid of me.
That is so
which
awesome.
Which is not weird because going back to my career in pageantry, and Anita will tell you this, everybody was afraid of me. And I feel like, do I come across as somebody to be afraid of?
I think you can potentially absolutely come across
intimidating.
As that intimidating. Yes. For people who aren't comfortable with who they are. Yes, absolutely. I can see you being very intimidating, but it's very comforting to be around you when you do know who you are, mm-hmm. because then it's like, oh God, you know, someone's, you know, I can have a good conversation with an individual. So I certainly don't think you're intimidating or scary, but I can absolutely see how people think you are.
Awesome.
I'm like, okay, we get on the phone, we have our objective. And at the end of the call, if there's room for a little bit of banter, okay. Mm-hmm. But I like to be like very boss and very mm-hmm. structured. Mm-hmm. So I don't really leave like a window of opportunity for people to kind of like slide in there.
I feel like Zoom has changed the game quite a bit since COVID. I never did Zooms with clients before. It was really not even the option. It was always over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And now Zoom has really, and I, in the beginning was really resistant to it because now I actually have to be presentable instead of talking on the phone. So
yeah.
9 times out of 10, if you're talking to me on Zoom, I, from here up, look presentable and probably have pajamas on at the bottom. So,
and I know that there's like horror stories out there too, because during COVID, I mean, people were reporting the news from their home and, you know, they'd be professional from the waist up. And then, I don't know, the dog would open the door mm-hmm. or something and people would accidentally get out of their chair and there would be like SpongeBob pajama
right.
pants on the bottom.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm pretty aware of that though. I never really get up. I'm usually in my office.
You like get a seatbelt just
yeah.
to make sure that you stay
yeah.
in the cockpit and not getting up.
But I will say Zoom has changed the game because I really enjoy seeing my clients. I think it has really changed how I have a relationship with them mm-hmm. because when you're talking with someone face to face, it just completely changes the relationship.
It really 100%. Does. It really does. And, you know, I have a lot of clients who need to call me from the car. I get it. You know, they can't make it on Zoom. They're working 50 hours a week. They have 3 kids. They're juggling a lot. I understand that. But if you are working with a coach, I would say at least for the first few sessions, getting on Zoom with them, or even if it's FaceTime, like you don't even have to be home. If we can get on FaceTime and meet each other that way, it's mm-hmm. super beneficial because you can see body language and the authenticity is just, mm-hmm. it's just there.
Yeah. I love it. I really have enjoyed it and I didn't think I would, but you know, some of my best clients who happen to me, I've had a lot of women clients right now. And I've really enjoyed getting to know them. And you're able to just communicate so much better when it's more of a personal connection.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely something, if you're listening, to keep in mind working with a coach. Mm-hmm. I think getting on a Zoom call, Google Meet, whatever the case may be, super beneficial. And I think that you should see who it is you're working with. I mean, if I was going to be working with a coach, I would want to get a feel for their vibe. Mm-hmm. And like body language is mm-hmm. very telling. I'd want to know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we've really enjoyed bantering with you today. We really enjoyed our first episode. I hope you enjoyed our first episode. We've got a lot of topics to talk about. We are going to record every week. We'll have a new episode that comes out. And if there are any topics that you would like us to discuss, if there's anything you're interested in, any questions you might have, or any topics that you want to discuss, you can certainly send those to us, make a comment either underneath our video, or you can send us an email. You know, we're happy to do that. You can actually go to executivejobsearch.net and you can send a communication right through there. Let us know what topics you want to cover and we're happy to talk about them.
I highly suggest following us on LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
We are like queens of networking. We love being connected. So, you know, if you want to throw us a question in a private message, you can as well. But just kind of staying connected with us, you know, if you have a certain something happening in your life and you think that maybe we have an executive that could be helpful to you or your company, if you're in search of an executive, we have plenty of talented individuals. So if you're seeking, we will probably have something that you can find. So follow us on LinkedIn. The LinkedIn URLs will be posted in the description below. And we will see you guys next time.
Because we are
the Job Chicks.
Thank you so much for joining our show today. We highly recommend following Brittany and I on LinkedIn and send us a question to air on our show.
We also encourage you to check out the Browning Associates website if you're an executive looking for top-to-bottom rebranding, network outreach, and coaching. You can find the direct links in the episode description below.
See you next time.